If you have a Bible with you, turn to the book of Isaiah. So if you've got a Bible nearby, we're going to look at Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 40, verse 29. So this evening's about renewing our strength. Once a month in the evening, we'll have an evening like this, Renew. And Renew is where a place where we can realign our hearts, restore our spirits, refresh our hopes in God, come before Jesus, ask the Holy Spirit, give our lives to God afresh. So once a month in our evening gathering, evenings like this, Renew. And so there'll be other people will be speaking. You'll be happy to know that there are going to be others speaking at Renew as well. But it's an opportunity. So invite friends, come along, restoring our hearts before God and renewing our strength in Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been singing and worshiping him tonight. So I'm going to look at a verse. It's probably well known to some people, maybe not to others. It's one of those verses that, you know, we've maybe read on a number of occasions, but we're just not going to spend a great length of time, but just a few moments just reflecting on this verse together. And it's in Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31. It reads like this. He gives strength. This is God. God gives strength to the weary, verse 29, reading from the NIV, and increases power to the weak. Even youths grow weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who hope in God. Another translation says those that wait. It's interesting. So it says in verse 31 there, but those who hope in the Lord, or another translation says those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. There'll be a supernatural strength, a restoration, a refreshing. Sometimes, you know, we just don't feel that we can do any more, say any more, work any harder at work, you know, please your boss anymore, please your spouse anymore, do any more for God. I don't know what it might be that you feel right now. And it says that we will run and not grow weary. We'll rise up in renewed strength. And it's a supernatural strength of God in our hearts and in our lives. Even more so now that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Isn't that amazing? That was written before Jesus rose from the dead. This is Old Testament. And how hopeful is that? How hopeful are the words that we've just read? And now, in the power of the risen Jesus, who sends the holy person of the Holy Spirit to be in us and with us all, even more so, may we know restoration and renewal. It's fantastic, really. So, meditate on these few verses just for a moment or two, and then open our hearts and come before Jesus and maybe respond either in prayer or worship or healing prayer, whatever we feel tonight. I was saying this morning, it says that even youths grow tired and weary. It says in verse 29, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. God has a heart. It's interesting. Sometimes in Christian circles, you can sometimes we can feel a bit intimidated. If you believe everything on Facebook and in the Christian world and on Christian TV and read a journal and read a book, everyone else is wonderful and I'm just pretty awful, really. And you can feel sometimes that in our weakness. But it's amazing. God is drawn to hearts and lives when we feel weak. It's really interesting that God God raises the poor. He loves those that if you do feel weak, he loves to give us strength. He loves us to be strong. I'm not saying that. He loves us to be strong, but there's something about the heart of God, and it says he gives strength to the weary and increases power to the weak. I was saying this morning when we were looking at this idea of seeking first the kingdom of God. As a church, we're looking now at kingdom culture as a series in our morning gatherings. And I was sharing this morning a little bit about how the World Health Organization, the WHO, in April 2016, they sort of declared, a bit of a dangerous thing to make a declaration like this, but they sort of declared it as an era of anxiety. Never Have we ever felt, they said, looked at the worldwide economy, and they reckoned that due to anxiety and depression and depressive-related experiences of the global economy, that something like the global economy lost something like £650 billion across the world because of anxiety and health, those sort of related issues. And they were talking to governments about looking at life and society, addressing work-life balance. You know, there's now a whole thing about happy economics. If ever you, this is true, it's not a newfangled weird thing. The actual governments are looking at happiness economics. If you have happy people, you have a more prosperous, productive people. It's really interesting. And but God has an answer. Even before the WHO have discovered this and are now looking at ways to increase productivity and make us feel happier and everything, God has an answer to our anxiety and our worries and our concerns. And it's his heart and his love. And so he says that he gives strength to the weary and raises hope for those who feel lost or anxious. And so it says there, the pivotal verse really is, increases the power to the weak, and even youths grow tired and weary, young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord. Another translation says, but those that wait for God, or wait on God, will renew their strength. Now that word wait, it's really interesting. It's been translated... that word hope there, translated in the NIV as hope, it literally means wait in hopeful anticipation and expectation. But it's a bit too much of a mouthful, so they translated hope. But I'll say it again, the word hope there literally means the way in which it's been written in the language of the day, which is the Old Testament, so it's Hebrew. It literally means wait in hopeful anticipation and expectation on God. That's quite a mouthful, but we're going to unpack that just for a minute or two. Not too long, because I haven't got long. But it's really interesting. It's quite amazing. Psychologists talk about... I studied a little bit of counselling over a number of years, and psychologists talk about hope outside of the Christian world. But if you've got hope, while there's hope... You know, there's an opportunity. And hopeful people, they studied hopeful people and people that didn't have hope, and they found that hopeful people seem to buck the trend, get on in life ultimately, probably feel a bit better physically, and are happier generally about being hopeful. Now, that's from a psychology point of view, but let's just put that aside. It's an observation. But God has discovered this and invented this way before psychologists discovered it from an observation. That's all they've done, is that those that are not just hopeful in life, but hope on God. And the word there is not just hoping, I hope so, I hope it improves, but it's hopeful anticipation and expectation of God. Hope on the Lord. That's the difference. It's coming to a point where we slow down, make space, look to God. That's why it's translated wait. I don't know about you, but I suppose I'm quite an impatient person, really. I am an impatient person. And if you're like me, when you're driving along on a motorway and you hit three or four lanes, I always look for the quickest lane, the outside lane. So I jump into the outside lane, and lo and behold, it stops. And I sit there, and about 20 cars go past in that lane. So I go and jump in that one, and there's this law to life that seems to say, I'm going to make you slow down. And you get in that one, and then about 10 cars in the lane you've just come out of zoom along. Am I the only one, or do you experience the same thing? Is it? We all experience it, do we? That's all right then. But I don't like waiting. I mean, I sometimes think waiting is a waste of time. You know, wait. But this isn't, when we look at those that wait in the Lord or hope in the Lord, it's not wasting our time and wasting our time away. It's anticipating and expecting and just waiting upon God. That's the difference. It's not just sitting in the lane, okay, what's going to happen? It's an anticipation, an expectation on God. And that's hard, isn't it, when you feel down? When I feel down, I don't feel too much of anything. But I might feel down, but God is still good. If you read throughout the whole of the Old and New Testament, it's on the character of who God is. Jesus revealed God as a good father. We'll talk about this all the time because it's the best thing to talk about. God is a good father. And Jesus revealed this good father. This is why it was so radical. And people rallied to him and ran around Jesus because they wanted to know about this good father. Before that, it was this overpowering God that they had to do lots of things for. And now there was this wonderful, good father who absolutely loved and cared and would feed. We looked at it this morning, the birds of the air, the fields. God knows what we need, so follow him. He's a good father. We were talking about this morning. And this good father, we can come to him and wait and look towards him. And Jesus revealed this good father in a hopeful expectation and anticipation because he's good. Now that is still the fact, even if life sucks. And I'm not saying, because there's things that in our lives that can go pear-shaped. Bad things can happen and we can get disappointed and disillusioned. And this is what God is speaking to, people who feel weak and anxious and disillusioned and it's gone pear-shaped or belly up. But God is still a good, good Father who wants us to look to him, wait for him. Hope in him, give our lives an expectation and come to him because he's a good, good father. And this was a radical message that Jesus shared. He said, you know, pray, the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. That's not just a pattern prayer, it's a prayer of a good, good father. It's a beautiful prayer, it's an amazing, warm prayer, a loving prayer, full of all the love of a father who cares. And so we are called to wait, look, hope, fulfilled anticipation and expectation. You see, wait and hope. Wait, it's to find space. Make space for God in our hearts and lives. I don't know about you, when things go wrong, I want to rest, I want to do this, change lane, go here. That one slows down, so then, but it's this wait. Make space. Find a place for God in our hearts, in our lives, in our marriage, in our home, at work. That's what it says, wait, wait, wait. Find a space. The other part of the translation says hope, wait, hope. They're interchangeable. So wait is like find space. Hope is make a place. When we anticipate, expect upon God, we're beginning to make space and a place for God. God did something quite amazing when he created the earth. He gave a place of rest. It's called the Sabbath in the Hebrew language. And the Sabbath was something when God worked and in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he said, everything was beautiful and very good. And he said, we're going to rest and I give you rest. It's a place to wait. It's a space to hope, renew, and recharge. You see, today, it's a place to go to B&Q and get some, isn't it? And do some leisurely decking. You know, go strip the decking and repaint it. That's not leisurely at all, is it? You know, well, I'm not a DIY person, so for me, it's not leisurely. I'm not saying it's wrong to do those things, by the way. That's not a judgment on those things. It's just that God gives a place of the principle of space, of a place, of a point to wait and to rest. Lots of Christians don't even do that. I confess there's been times in my life I've not done that. I hear some people say, I need a rest from Sunday. They're not saying, I need a rest off church. I need a rest from it all. And I understand what people are saying. Sometimes it can get too much. And sometimes if everybody's too happy around you and you're feeling really sad, I understand that. It can really get to you. But being with the people of God, worshiping God, encouraging one another, being in his presence, making space for God, anticipating all that he's got for me, it should be the place that I'm renewed and restored. And so wait, find a space, make a place. It's the idea of rest. God, the Sabbath is a day of rest or a place, not just a day, but it's the principle of rest. It's a holy space and place. I look upon the Sabbath, whether it's Sunday, your place of rest. I have Sabbath moments, rest places. You know when you go down a windy country road and then you think two cars can't get past each other and then there's a turning area. I try to put moments of space in my life, which I'm not very good at. Moments of space, a place to rest, to read, to hear, to speak to God. So you're going down the windy roads of life and you can't find the space and you can't get past and you get anxious and you get worried. We need that turning point where you can actually pull in. Let it all go by you and find a place and a space with God. That's what the Sabbath is. It's not we've got to do a lot of stuff. I've got to go to church. I've got to read this. I've got to do that. No, it's a place where you pull in to God's presence. A good, good, good Father. And so the holy place, a space, a place to enjoy God and be enjoyed by God. That's why church should be a good place. Should be. We want to enjoy each other's company and God's presence and the Spirit and the space. And that's what the Sabbath, this day of rest, is a principle, and to give that to our lives and our children, because we're wired up all the time and we're scrolling through. And if you go on Facebook and you scroll down, you scroll through, we scroll through life very quick, finding this. I haven't got time for that. I'm listening to this. I'm doing that. But it's wait. Let's make space for God, a holy place. It's a holy space for the presence of the living God. And it's in that place of rest that I'm able to, it says, wait upon the Lord. It's a holy space, a place of rest, a place where you make a space for God, for you to enjoy God, to hear God and Him to enjoy your presence. And you might not be enjoying life right now. You might not be enjoying your Christian life right now. But God enjoys knowing you, created you. And it thrills His heart that we've come back to Him. It says in heaven, that heaven rejoices when somebody becomes a Christian. It's in the pages of the New Testament. The heaven rejoices. So it thrills God's heart when we love Him and know Him. So He enjoys your company. He enjoys your presence. How much can we enjoy Him? It's pretty incredible. It's mind-boggling. It's spectacular. It's pretty amazing. If you can look at it like that, then we'll want to make a space, make a place for God and to enjoy this good, good Father. So no wonder the psalmist says, when you wait, then you will be renewed. You see, when we rest, when we make a space, when we make a place, when we come with expectation, when we come with anticipation, we begin to realign our hearts and our lives. When you rest, when you stop, when you stay for a moment, something begins to happen. We begin to realign our hearts and lives with God. You know, an eagle is able to align its wingspan with some, as the ground, as the earth heats up and the heat rises, it creates what are actually, in fact, thermals. And the heat rises, and as it goes up, it will lift the wings of an eagle. And I've read that the American bald eagle can rise up to 3 miles. It can rise up to nearly 3 miles on just the thermals. And so what an eagle can do is it is able to align itself and find where the heat is and align. And so you'll see an eagle going higher and higher and higher, up to 3 miles. There's this renewing effect. And the heat, the warmth of the presence of God is love, is hope. Faith, hope, and love are the thermals of the when you come into the presence of God, who lifts. This is why it's likened. Coming into God's presence is likened into that of the energy of an eagle. So I find it quite pretty incredible, actually. Nearly 3 miles. I have to run up the stairs, and I get a bit breathless now and again. Top of the stairs, I a little bit these days. Need to get a bit fitter, maybe do a bit more running. 3 miles? It's unbelievable. My family just take the mickey out of me. I'm into like eagles and stuff like that and all that sort of business. But And that, but it realigns. It's able to align its wingspan and find the thermals. And as the heat rises across, and so up to 3 miles, and can then travel hundreds and hundreds of miles. That's how they can migrate without flapping their wings half the time. It's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible. And so we are able to, when we come into the presence of God, the thermals of God's presence are faith, hope, and love. No wonder Paul said to the Corinthians, you know, these three things shall remain. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest, he says, 1 Corinthians 13, is love. But these three things, it's amazing. And these are the thermals of God's presence. Faith, hope, and love. So when we wait, when we make a space, when we give a holy place, a holy space, and we come and anticipate and expect and begin to look upon God and open up our hearts and give our hearts to him, it says we will rise up like eagles. Why? Because in the presence of God, it's like coming into the warmth of his goodness, there's the thermals of faith. Faith is where we come to trust. Faith is trust. It's simply trust, and we restore, we energize our faith. You know, when things go wrong, we it's hard to trust. But as we come and look upon God, the good Father, we're able to trust. We begin to trust again. And you find as you trust a little, Jesus said, a grain of mustard seed. All it takes is a mustard seed. And it's just that little bit that begins to rise and begins to lift us. And as you begin to lift, you can feel more. And as you begin to feel more, so you'll trust more. There's something really powerful about coming and trusting and rising on the thermals of trust. Hope. Hope is this idea, and it's translated hope or wait, is this idea of expectation. It's not like, I think so, I hope so. It's an anticipation of what is going to happen. It's anticipating the waiter to come and wait upon your table because you're looking forward to a really good meal and you're hoping. And it's that sort of thing. It's that sort of hope. It's an anticipation, expectation of good, something really good because God is good. And it's that type of feeling. That's the hope. And so it lifts. It's something energizing when hope is gone. But where there's hope, they looked at heart patients in a number of hospitals throughout the United States, and people that had faith and possessed hope in God, whether it was Christian or different gods, and it wasn't a Christian, it was a study of people that believed, and they found that people that had a sense of faith and hope, their heart condition fared better than those that had none. It's pretty incredible. There's something powerful about hoping and expecting in God. And then love. So this will go on and on and on. Love, the warmth, the heat of God's love and goodness, because he's a good, good, good Father. It's just giving our hearts into our lives into his hands. So when we rest in him, we can reflect, we realign, and then we're renewed. There's something about this waiting, hoping, resting in him. We begin to look upon him as a good Father. We begin to see, we begin to read, we begin to pray, we begin to call, we begin to worship. Just for me, just recently, Andrew gave me up CD, and it was I think it's called House Fires 3, and I've been listening to that and the worship on that, and it's absolutely amazing. And that is something that I'm able to soar and listen and hope and reflect. And I'll have it in the car when I'm driving around from place to place. I'm not there every second of the day, far from it, but it's great worship. For me at the moment, it's something that's really been my way of rising in the presence of God and restoring, reflecting, realigning my heart, my spirit, my mind. And then there's something happens inside my soul. You rise, you rise, you're renewed. You are renewed. He's a good, good Father. Let's come, let's pray. And we're going to come and sing together. And just, so when you feel weak, perhaps tonight you need to renew. You know, maybe you're about to go off to uni and be far from home. Or maybe we're feeling, tired. Maybe our Christian walk needs a sense of renewal. Then let's come and wait and hope in God and worship him and listen to some worship and begin to read of how good he is as a father and lay hold of his promise for you because he's a good, good father. Make a space. Find a point in the road where you pull to the side and you say, God, even if it's 10 minutes today, 10 minutes today, I'm going to come and just meditate, think. For me, it's going along in the car, while often coming, going, put, you know, listening, just thinking, embracing God as a good father. Oh, it renews, it restores my hope and my strength. Come and be renewed tonight, maybe, restored. Maybe some of those things we can put into practice. Thank you, Father God. We love you, we trust you, we honor you. We thank you that you are indeed a good, good father. We just worship you, praise you, and adore you tonight. And we want to just give our hearts and lives to you afresh. Those that you said, Lord Jesus, come to me, everybody who is weary, worn out, and I will give you rest. That's such good news. And that's what you said, Jesus. And we've just been reading what your Father says through the prophet Isaiah, that we're to come to you and wait, and we will be renewed with strength like an eagle. We want to rise up in renewed faith, renewed hope, renewed love, Father. I pray for people tonight who maybe feel weak or worried, anxious, troubled, maybe not feeling too much as a Christian, maybe concerned, maybe, you know, whatever it might be tonight. Father, we just open our hearts to you. Help us as we seek to find rest in you. Help us as we seek to give a place and a space to you. Maybe it's just maybe each day, 10 minutes, maybe you're saying 10 minutes each day at a point of the day to pull aside, listen to something, read something from the Word of God, listen to some music. Just come before you, give our hearts afresh so that we can make that space and a place, a holy place of rest, so that we can be realigned and renewed. See our hearts, Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight and you come to church, read the Bible from time to time. They're good things, but in themselves, they're not good enough. They're great things to do. I commend you for all those things. But you know, the key to rest is Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus said, come to me, Jesus, anyone who is worried or burdened. So tonight, will you give your life to Jesus? Do you want him to restore you? I pray for anyone here tonight, Lord, that doesn't really know you as Lord, Savior, and Master. I pray that whoever it might be would come to you. You give an open invitation. You're not hard to find. Your arms are outstretched and you just say, come. I love you. I care for you. I'm a good, good father. So I pray tonight that whoever it might be that needs to just come to you, they will do that. Give their life to you. In your mighty and good name, I pray. Let's stand together, shall we? He's a good father. Let's worship him and love him. Give our lives to him afresh.
I've heard a thousand stories of why